It can feel like the world is a more uncertain place these days, and learning to work through that uncertainty can be hard. But our next guest says there's a secret tool, creativity. She says it's a crucial skill that helps us tackle all kinds of complicated problems in new ways. And we can learn to be more creative with a set of strategies from the world of design. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there something in your life that you think has made you a more creative person, a more creative problem solver? Or do you need help dealing with kind of ambiguous situations where there's not a clear right or wrong answer? Our guest might have some inspiration for you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Sarah Stein Greenberg is the executive director of Stanford University's Design School. Her new book is called Creative Acts for Curious People: How to Think, Create, and Lead in Unconventional Ways. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I remember back in school, a lot of problems that you do in your homework had, you knew they had one correct answer. And I found that in real life, a lot of times the problems aren't that simple. How important is it for us to get used to dealing with kind of ambiguity and uncertainty in our lives?
I mean, you really just put your finger on it, right? A lot of educational experiences we have are all based around that idea that there is one right answer. And, you know, the teacher has it on the answer key, and or you can look in the back of the book. And then, you know, you get out of school and all of a sudden things are much more complex. And so one of those things that we try to emphasize when we're teaching design and we're teaching creativity is, you know, we want to have students practice on projects that are going to look a lot more like they do in the real world. And, you know, I think it's really fair to say that in the past 18 months, every single one of us has experienced, you know, really new challenges that have tested us and stretched us. And so having a method, having some confidence around your own creative skills, figuring out how can I apply them in this time of great uncertainty, I think some of those strategies can be really useful.
I know I think creativity sometimes is a thing that you either got it or you don't, or you have a fixed amount of creativity. You work to help educate people on being more creative. Is it possible to boost our, creativity quotient?
Absolutely. You know, I think it's really one of those unfortunate myths in our society that only some people are creative. And it's interesting because a lot of people immediately when they meet me, they say, well, I'm not very creative because I can't draw. And there's this real tight association that people have with being good at a certain type of, visual output and creativity. Well, I honestly think that could not be further from the truth. So you can be extremely creative as an educator. You can be extremely creative as a nurse. You can be extremely creative as somebody who works in government. And so part of our mission at the D School is really to help expose more people to these basic strategies. We actually really, in this moment in history, we need more people exercising their creative abilities to solve the kinds of problems that we're all up against.
And you give a really good example to open your book. Actually, it's in comic strip form, creatively, that shows that creativity isn't just about, you know, making cool music or visual art. You look at some students who are trying to help a hospital in India. Could you just talk a little bit about how their creative thinking helped overcome this medical challenge?
Yeah, so they were, we had a team of students. They came from all different parts of Stanford, a couple med students, a policy student, and an engineer. And so they came together around this challenge of really trying to help this hospital in southern India figure out how to act on their mission, which was around delivering very high quality but low cost care at a large scale. And the students went in thinking, you know, okay, well, given that mandate, we're really going to help them reduce some of the costs, or we're going to help the clinicians be more efficient with their time. But when they actually started getting to know the folks in the hospital and they went and did some interviews and observations, what they realized is there was a whole other opportunity that was kind of hiding in plain sight. And they noticed in particular that there were a lot of family members of the patients who were waiting around. They didn't have access to good information about what was happening, and they were really stressed out and anxious about what was going to happen when their family member returned home. So the students decided, okay, this is actually a really important need. Nobody else is addressing it yet. So let's see if we can try to alleviate this suffering of these family members. And what they wound up designing was an educational opportunity for people who, while they're spending time and waiting in the hospital, they're getting training on how do you take a pulse? how do you practice the important hygiene regimen for when your family member has just had surgery and they return home? And through that intervention, they've actually created an organization called Neura Health, which has trained over 1 million family members across South Asia to be really active participants in caring for their loved ones. And that has reduced hospital readmissions and reduced post-surgical complications. And the amazing thing is that it's really not the framing of the problem that the students approach, like they, it's not what they went in with. And so part of design work and part of creative work is that you remain open to possibility. And that is part of what allows you to really solve problems in unconventional ways. And that is exactly the kind of thinking that I think we need more of and that we strive to teach at the D School.
Talking to Sarah Stein-Greenberg from Stanford University's Design School. Her new book is called Creative Acts for Curious People, How to Think, Create, and Lead in Unconventional Ways. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has creative thinking helped you in your personal life or on the job? Are there things that helped you think, become a more creative problem solver? Do you have ways of teaching other people to solve problems creatively? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Sarah, let's dive into the heart of your book now, which is exercises. Some people can do alone, some in pairs, some in big groups, maybe even a whole class. What was your goal in creating these exercises or adapting, in many cases, things from your students and colleagues?
Yeah, so all of the exercises that are in the book are really pulled directly from our large teaching community. And these are real assignments that we teach at Stanford, but they're very flexible. So as you said, you can do them in lots of different contexts. And what I'm hoping to do is to get everybody to just try something that's a little bit out of their comfort zone. So in some cases, you know, folks have that block around like, oh, I'm not sure how to express myself visually. I've got all these ideas, but I just don't know how to draw. I don't know how to build my ideas into a format where other people can give me feedback about them. So there are assignments that are about visualization. There are assignments that are about what we call prototyping, which is kind of building rough models very early in your process. So somebody could actually say, oh, I get what you're saying. I get what your idea is. Let me give you some feedback. On the other hand, there are folks who, you know, the skill that they're looking to develop is about how do I receive feedback differently? Or how do I reflect on and notice my own creative abilities and how they're changing over time and how I'm learning? And so there's a whole section of assignments that are really around reflection and self-awareness and understanding and kind of assessing your own creativity and your own creative abilities. And I really believe, you know, it's like no one person has exactly the same set of needs as a learner, as a creative person. No creative project looks exactly the same. So in this book, I really want readers to be able to navigate for themselves and figure out what are the particular skills you're most interested in acquiring today. And there's something in there, I think, for everybody.
Let's check out a couple that maybe people could try at home. One that I liked, and this is one you can do solo, I believe, a seeing exercise. Talk us through this one, please.
Yeah, this is a great exercise that was adapted by a group that really specializes in what are called visual thinking strategies. And it's amazing what we don't realize we're not noticing all around us on a daily basis. And so this exercise has you take a photograph. You can take, there's one in the book you can use for practice, or you can take one from a newspaper. And really just kind of slow down your thought process. So you look at the photograph and you ask, what am I seeing here? And then you ask, what makes me say that? What is actually the data or the thing that I'm observing that makes me interpret the thing that is happening here in this picture? And then you ask yourself that again and again. And you spend maybe about 15 minutes with one photo. And you start to notice detail that you just realize, wow, in those first 5 minutes, you didn't even notice that whole section, or you didn't notice that dynamic or the shadows or some kind of relationship. And what you begin to realize is that because our brains are constantly filtering the information that we're seeing all around us, there are opportunities that are lying in plain sight. And just like those students in India, when they had the opportunity to really observe the situation and notice in a bit of a different way, they spotted an opportunity that was being unaddressed. And that's often where a lot of opportunity for creative problem solving or for innovation comes from, is noticing that thing that no one else has actually identified as a problem or an opportunity.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Winter. Dave, hi.
Hello, good afternoon. I have continued my education by listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been listening now for about 25 years, and I'm serious. It opens my eyes to a lot of different things, and it makes me think about getting a second opinion about some things. Some things that I recognize being talked about, I'll play back on your tapes. I just want to thank you for that great community service that you're providing, and keep on keeping on.
Dave, thank you so much for sharing that, and I hope Wisconsin Public Radio does this well. But that reminds me of one of your exercises, expert assumptions. Dave was talking about going back and examining things and getting other opinions. One of your assignments, this one takes a little longer, involves doing something kind of like that.
Yeah, that's right. There's a wonderful practice. You know, most people have heard of brainstorming, right? Mm-hmm. But there's another important practice, which is called assumption storming. And that is really useful when you want to make sure that you're kind of like challenging yourself to find that second opinion, as Dave was saying, or you're thinking about a problem or an opportunity through multiple lenses. And assumption storming simply has you break down the problem or the thing that you're working on and list all of the assumptions that you can think about. So in the book, I use the example of, you know, let's say you work in your public library and you're trying to redesign what the entryway might be. What should the experience be for people who are coming in? What should it feel like? What should it look like? What activities might happen there? And to begin, you just might list all the assumptions that you have about how a library, quote, has to function, right? It has to be quiet. It should be accessible to everyone. It tends to attract such and such a kind of person in the community. It does or doesn't have computer access. And once you list all of those assumptions, you might find that some of them are facts, some of them are more opinions, and some of them are kind of guesses. And you can just, in that structured way, recognize, wow, if I challenge some of those things that are opinions or guesses, well, I'm going to have a whole lot more creative space to play in. But if you don't name those as assumptions, you might sort of unconsciously assume that that whole part of the situation is fixed, right? That there's no changes or improvements possible. And so surfacing those early in a process is actually really valuable for creating more open space within your design work.
Thanks again for that call, Dave. We're talking to Sarah Stein-Greenberg, head of Stanford University's Design School. Her new book is called Creative Acts for Curious People, How to Think, Create, and Lead in Unconventional Ways, jam-packed with exercises you can use, you and groups of others as well, if you want, to help boost your creative problem-solving. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there something in your life that's inspired creativity, whether for fun, or for serious purposes? Do you find creative solutions to difficult problems? Do they come easily for you, or is it hard work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about how to do a better job dealing with uncertainty using creative strategies from the world of design. Sarah Stein-Greenberg is with us. Her new book is Creative Acts for Curious People, How to Think, Create, and Lead in Unconventional Ways. Still time for your call with your questions about how to be more creative, or maybe your experiences, something that's inspired you, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Sarah, you've got a couple exercises that would work well with pairs of people. I usually hate icebreakers at meetings because I'm surly and standoffish, but these I would do. I want to check out a couple of them. One called First Date. I read this one, I laughed about it. First Date, Worst Date.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites. And, you know, it's interesting that you say you hate icebreakers. I'm also not a big fan of icebreakers. We use a lot of what we consider kind of warm-up activities, which, yeah, you know, there's a similarity with ice breaking, but I always try to use one that is related to the behavior, the kind of creative action that I want someone to take later on in the session. So I'll tell you what I mean by that. So First Date, Worst Date is a really fun kind of combination of storytelling and building with physical materials. So you sit with a partner and each of you build a representation using Legos of your first worst date. And it's kind of amazing because like everybody has a story about this. Maybe it's a romantic date. Maybe it's like a professional date or some other kind of date. But everybody has a funny or an embarrassing or a touching kind of story about this. And the thing that's the challenge is that's kind of an abstract prompt. Like, are you going to express a feeling through Legos? Are you going to kind of tell a linear narrative about something that happened? And I've seen people kind of create like a cliff, you know, out of Legos, because that was what the date felt like falling off a cliff, right? Or you know, sort of something that like started poorly but ended well, and you can kind of see how they've created that in a physical form. And it's a really interesting skill to develop, because as I was saying earlier, when you learn how to express your kind of abstract, fuzzy, new ideas about the kind of solution you might be thinking about, and you put those into a physical object, all of a sudden someone else can say, oh, I understand what you're saying. Like, let me respond to that. Let me give you some feedback. Oh, let me build on that. Let me give you some new ideas. So that process of taking something out of your brain and putting it into the real physical world, even if that's not the way it's going to live on as a product or a service, that is one of those core skills in design that I think everybody can use a little bit of.
Let's go back to our callers now. William is with us in Wakefield, Michigan. William, hi.
Oh, hello. I just want to say thank you so much for what you do, and wish everybody out there a positive day. I just found out through this pandemic or epidemic, whatever you might want to categorize it as, that people become more lenient on the internet. And I just want to give, I guess, a shout out to the YouTube that's been remarkable, because you can tailor, you know, your highlights for what excites you, and basically see true, you know, live stories about people's, you know, ups and downs and how they overcome things, and kind of get yourself before you even know it.
You're breaking up, William, but point taken. William has found a lot of creativity on the internet, and sounds like he's inspired, especially by young people using the internet creatively to express themselves. What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I'm hearing in that example is, you know, kind of some empathy that you can develop, right? You see someone's story, you really identify with it, or maybe they are living a different life from you, but you kind of get that sense of the ups and downs. And, you know, empathy is something we talk a lot about in design work, because you're really usually designing something for other people, right? That's part of what, you know, separates design from art in a way. And so if you're trying to come up with a creative solution that meets the needs of someone else, you got to understand them. You got to understand what motivates them and what they need, and how their life might be better if you can design a solution for them. And so I love that example of this sort of unconventional source of input and inspiration to really understand and identify with the experiences that other people are having.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Sarah Stein-Greenberg about her new book, Creative Act for Curious People. Back to your calls now with Dan by Rice Lake. Dan, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was thinking about this, enjoying the show. I taught visual media in universities for 38 years. And the key for most of the students to make a change in how they were thinking about, for example, their photographs, was to get them to define the photograph by way of adjectives rather than nouns. It was that simple. And all of a sudden, they start seeing much more in the photograph if it is something other than a dog or any other descriptor of that sort. So just changing the basic language you use to describe what you're doing from nouns to adjectives.
Dan, thanks for that call. And I think, Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong, you've got an exercise in your book that looks at a picture and asks you to describe what the person in the picture is doing, first by nouns, then by verbs. So very similar exercise to what Dan did.
Yeah, I'm so struck by the similarities. And, you know, first of all, what an amazing lesson from, you know, clearly a master educator that we just heard. I think that, you know, part of what's going on there is just the power of framing. Right. And in that case, like shifting from nouns to adjectives creates this whole new way of seeing. Right. That's really interesting. And the exercise that you're describing, Rob, we often assume or interpret so much of what's going on and what people might need. So in this particular one, you look at a picture and you try to come up with, like, what do you think the person in the picture actually needs? And almost every time, all of the first things that people come up with are nouns. And that is kind of like the solution already. But if you can change your language to verbs, so in the case of this picture, there's a young girl who's standing on a ladder and reaching up in a bookcase. So the first thing people usually say is like, oh, she needs a book, or she needs learning, or she needs knowledge, or she needs a parent to come help her. But actually, if you say, oh, she needs to reach, she needs to learn, she needs some help, right? There, that actually creates, well, there are lots of different ways that she could learn. There's lots of different ways that she could get help. And whereas if you just say like, oh, she needs a ladder, she needs a chair, she needs a longer arm, that's kind of limiting the solution space. So shifting that vocabulary towards something that's much more open-ended, that's one of those techniques that you can use to create much more opportunity for yourself when you're setting out in a creative project.
Dan, thanks a lot for that call. Just in our last few moments, Sarah, can you leave us with a bit of inspiration to try some creativity tonight?
You know, I think it is all about trying. And one of our key philosophies is like, especially as an adult, it's all about learning by doing. So if you happen to grab this book, or maybe you're trying to learn something new and you're using YouTube, right? Like actually just learn how to change the side mirror on my car. Like just stretch yourself to just try to learn something new. That actually like fills us up so much. And you can do that in very, very small ways. But the key is not just to think about something, but actually to try it out. That changes your disposition towards the thing that you're trying. It builds your confidence. And whether that's a creative act or some other thing that you're learning, that would be my provocation, my last word on this.
Sarah, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a lot of fun.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
That's Sarah Stein-Greenberg, Executive Director of Stanford University's Design School. She was with us today to talk about her new book. It's called Creative Act for Curious People, How to Think, Create, and Lead in Unconventional Ways.